Easiest thing to do is go along with it. Everybody thinks and tells you to do. Fit in, don't speak up, that's easy. Anybody, everybody does that. Don't. Go against the flow, be a live fish. Buck the system. Go against the flow. Stand up for Christ. Don't be ashamed of the gospel.
Jesus never said following him would be easy. In fact, he promised persecution and trials. But today on Connect with Skip Heitzig, Skip shares how God blesses your obedience and devotion to live for him. And at the end of today's program, Skip and his wife Lenya share how you can root out worldly influences in your life and recommit yourself to the Lord.
If you know you have a propensity toward a certain behavior, if somebody's presence, some friendship in your life that you cultivate could help avert that you could call or could call you or ask you hard questions, that's another level.
Thanks, Skip. Be sure to stay tuned after today's message to hear the full conversation. Now, we want to tell you about a resource that will encourage you even more in your faith.
Our lives are punctuated by defining moments, pivot points that shape who we are now and who we'll become, such as choice of marriage partner or where we choose to work, as Skip Heitzig observes.
There's predictable events that happens like in your life, but every now and then, life sort of hits you by surprise. It comes crashing down on you. You are going a direction, your day is planned out, but you get a phone call from a doctor or a friend. The news is not good, the prognosis is not good, and you didn't see it coming.
God's Word has the direction to get you through the planned and unplanned pivot points in your life. The Pivot Point Package speaks to marriage, death, depression, recovery, fear of the future, and moving to a new location or job. Get these teachings that include written personal direction from Skip on each of these topics. You'll receive this package when you give $50 or more today to this Bible teaching ministry. We'll send you Pastor Skip's Pivot Points collection of 6 messages, plus an encouraging letter from Pastor Skip so you can strengthen your faith in defining moments.
A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted.
Get these critical Pivot Point messages today when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888.
Okay, we're in Daniel chapter 1 as we join Skip Heitzig for today's study.
To Daniel, he's a Jewish kid. And according to his law, Jewish law, there are certain kinds of food you can eat and certain kind you can't eat. And when you can eat it, it's called kosher cuisine. And when you can eat it, it's unkosher. And it's a practice still to this day. So according to Levitical laws, you certainly couldn't eat stuff that has been sacrificed to pagan gods. And the way the Babylonians prepared it evidently was not according to Jewish kosher law. So he just says, not going to do it. And then he said, I don't want the wine, because the wine had been poured onto pagan altars. That was their practice. And then the rest of the wine was taken undiluted. And the Jews didn't drink undiluted wine. They would mix their wine, 20 parts of water to 1 part of wine, because wine was basically used by the Jews to kill germs. So the idea of something that was offered to a foreign god that might give me an altered state of consciousness as well as this pagan revelry, no, I'm not going to do it. So he called it a defilement. And I know you might think, yeah, I still don't see what the big deal is. I mean, Daniel is not in Jerusalem, he's in Babylon. So, dude, accommodate, right? I mean, when in Babylon, live like the Babylonians. Your parents aren't even around. Your friends aren't even around. The rabbis aren't here. Nobody's going to see. Do what you want. You got a lot of excuses. That's the deal. Daniel wasn't looking for an excuse because Daniel was living with purpose. And when you live with purpose, you don't look for an excuse. The only reason you look for an excuse is if you don't have a purpose to live for. So he had a purpose. He had an aim. He had a goal. He's saying basically to the king and to the king's head of the eunuchs, look, you can isolate me and you can re-educate me and you can intimidate me and you can redesignate me, but you can't change me. This is who I am at the core. No matter what happens, this is who I am. I'm not afraid of that. Which brings up a topic. What is it that defiles you? There's all sorts of things that taint us, that pollute us, that corrupt us, that can contaminate us. They could be movies or TV shows that you now feel the freedom to binge on, websites you go to, places you frequent, relationships you're involved in. What I am suggesting from the scriptures is that you develop the conviction to say no, so that you will have the occasion to say yes. Develop the conviction to say no, so that you will have the occasion to say yes. When you close the door to defilement, you open the door to development. God will do some great thing. You say no to certain things, new opportunities, the Lord will spring into your path. Now, it all begins in the heart. It all begins deep inside. It begins with a belief system, a mindset, that no matter where I am at, whether I'm in Jerusalem or Babylon, whether I'm in church or in Starbucks, no matter where I might be, God is always there. The camera is always on. The microphone is always on. It says in Proverbs 5, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all of his paths. Remember the story of Moses before he became Moses the leader, and he was disgruntled because he knew that the Egyptians were oppressing the Israelites. And he looked one day and he saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite. And Moses went over and killed him. But this is what the Bible says. Moses looked this way, and Moses looked that way, and then Moses killed him. You know what his problem was? He didn't look that way. And if you live that way, I'm looking this way and that way, so are people looking? God is always looking. And Daniel knew that. Even as a young teenager, he's in Babylon going, God's here. God's here. So that was his protest. That's the predicament. That's the protest. But I want to show you something else. I want to show you the petition. Go back to verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested, notice that word, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king. I'm afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, who has appointed your food and drink. This is his menu, not mine. Why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. Look at, our king isn't a nice guy. He cuts heads off. Mine's next. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. And let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. So it's a vegan diet. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. As you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. Now watch this. Daniel isn't just reactive. Daniel is proactive. He's not just resisting an order. He is requesting an alternative. So please note, first of all, in verse 8, it says, Daniel requested. It doesn't say Daniel demanded, or Daniel picketed, or Daniel yelled and protested and screamed and defamed. He requested. That's showing honor. Look at verse 12. What's the first word? What does Daniel say? Please. His mama taught him right. He uses please and thank you. Please test your servants for 10 days. See, Daniel is not some holier than thou kid saying, look here, you filthy pagans. He's respectful. He's nice. He is honoring. And God brought him into the respect and honor of the servant, head of the eunuchs. Did you know in Proverbs 16, it reads, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him? That's what you have happening here. Yeah, be a nonconformist, by all means. But be a nice one. You don't have to be a mean one. You can be a nice one. Don't try to pick a fight. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance." You know, some people, some Christian people, some preachers always seem mad. Mad at those that disagree with him or her, rebuking political leaders, ranting about what is really a personal opinion. Ben Franklin was right. He said, "You'll catch more flies with honey than you will with vinegar." I want you to remember what I'm about to say. You need to be winsome if you want to win some. You need a winsome personality if you want to win others to Christ. You need to be winsome if you want to win some. So Daniel requested, and Daniel said, "Please, here's an alternative. Let's do a test." Still, I don't want to forget that Daniel was not silent. He spoke up. He didn't agree. He dug his heels in. There was a line he wouldn't cross, and he made it known that he wouldn't cross. Against this onslaught of Babylonian cultural pressure that is thrust on him, he says, "I will not conform." Now, it's not that he's going to change Babylon, because he won't. Babylon will not change because of Daniel's ministry there. Oh yeah, you'll get a king in chapter 4 confessing the God of heaven, but they're going to continue in their pagan practices. They're not going to stop worshiping their false gods. They're not going to stop being corrupt. And the judgment of God will rest upon Babylon. So he's not going to change Babylon. But that's not what this is about. Daniel's not trying to change Babylon. It wasn't about changing Babylon. This is about not letting Babylon change him. It's this cultural conformity that I will not bow to. And I think this is important, especially in this day and age. If your agenda becomes, "We've got to take America back," you're going to die disappointed. If you think you're going to go back 200 years to founding Fathersville, you're going to be very, very disappointed. That ship has sailed. There's been too many elections. There have been too many laws passed. And yes, there are certain things we can hold on to, but it's really not about trying to get America back to where it was. It's about the church standing strong in the midst of it. I'm not called to be worried about America. As a pastor, I'm more worried about God's people. It's time for the church to refuse to conform to the culture. It's time for the church to refuse to go along with the agenda. It's time for the church to refuse letting the culture tell us how to raise our kids or how to live our lives. They can live any way they want. They just don't have to tell me how I'm going to live my life or what I'm going to teach my kids. Now, it's funny because they're always saying to people like me and people like us, "Stay in your lane, Christians. Stay in your churches. Stay in your cubicle. Stay in your corner. Don't get involved in our issues." What's interesting about that is they have no qualms getting involved in our issues, sticking their nose in our tent, trying to mandate all sorts of things to us. And all the while they say, "Separation of church and state." Yeah, they don't even know what that originally means, typically. And so they say, "Separation of church, get out of here, church." But they want the state to impose things on the church. And if we don't, they resort to humiliation and vilification and censorship. All that to say this, and I believe this with all my heart, we are living in a Daniel moment. We're in that moment. We have unprecedented pressure all around us, so we need to pray for the same kind of wisdom that Daniel had in the moment that he had. Certain things I'm going to refuse, just so you know, going forward. There are certain things in this culture, I don't care what government says, there are certain things I will refuse. But I'll do it with respect. I'll do it with a smile. They may lock me up and put me in jail, but I'll do it with class. So that is the petition. Good, you'll be my cellmate. I want to close with this, the payoff. There's a payoff to all of this. And that is verse 15. If you're wondering, well, all of this saying no, what did it get Daniel? Verse 15, at the end of 10 days, their features, these little vegan kids, the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh. Now, typically, that is not a compliment. But in this context, it really is a compliment. Hey, you're looking fat. Thank you. Because that would score them points. At the end of those days, they look better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus, the steward took away their portion of delicacies and wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. I know Daniel became their enemy after that. Like, really? Now we can't eat dessert? We're eating your stupid vegetable and water diet? As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So God honored their commitment, first of all, in their appearance. They looked great. Second of all, in their prominence. They graduated at the top of their class. They aced the test. Look in verse 19. The king interviewed them. And among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. 10 times better. Literally in the Hebrew text, 10 hands. 10 hands. So it's like horse measurement. The idea is that one of Daniel is worth 10 of these magicians from the Babylonian court. 10 times better. Appearance, prominence, and there's a third payoff, influence. Influence. Verse 21. Look at the very last verse of the chapter. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Now, we would just read through that and not really camp on that, but I need to explain that. We believe Daniel came to Babylon as a young teenager because he lives through the entire 70-year captivity into his latter years. And for him to live 70 years in Babylon, he must have gotten there as a teenager because the introduction of King Cyrus is in 536 BC. So from 605 BC to 536 BC, through the entire captivity, Daniel had influence. He influences King Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2, 3, and 4, introduces Nebuchadnezzar to the God of heaven in chapter 4. He influences Belshazzar in chapter 5, the handwriting on the wall incident, all the way to Cyrus, the Medo-Persian Empire that takes over the Babylonians. And I'm going to add something else to that. I would say that Daniel's influence even went beyond that because years later, centuries later, it says, wise men from the east showed up in Jerusalem saying, we have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him. The Magi. The Magi were Babylonian priests from the court of the Babylonian king, Babylon, then Medo-Persia. The big question is, how on earth would Babylonian priests know to look for a Jewish king? Unless a guy had told them about it. In fact, if you know the book of Daniel, that's the theme of the book of Daniel, the Jewish king who will rule the world. And years later, they were still being influenced by Daniel. So here's the takeaway this morning. Go against the flow. The flow out there is pretty strong. It's a cultural flow. It's a political flow. It's a moral flow. It's a musical flow. Go against it. Go against the flow. It's not easy to do it. It's hard to go against the flow. Any dead fish can float downstream. Easiest thing to do is go along with it. Everybody thinks and tells you to do. Fit in. Don't speak up. That's easy. Anybody. Everybody does that. Don't. Go against the flow. Be a live fish. Buck the system. Go against the flow. Stand up for Christ. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. I want to close by reading to you something that was found This is from the 1920s and 30s. It was found among the papers, a journal, of a missionary to Zimbabwe after he was martyred for his faith in Christ. He writes this: "I am a part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of his, and I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road may be narrow, my way rough, my companions few, but my guide is reliable, and my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy or ponder at the pool of popularity or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up till I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ." You live like that, world will not know what to do. With that kind of boldness, that kind of nonconformity. And that's what this missionary wrote, and they killed him. But I got to say, it's a good way to go out. It's a whole, all the ways I could think of going out of this world, that sounds pretty good.
That wraps up Skip Heitzig's message from the series Hunting Giants. Now, let's go in the studio with Skip and Lenya as they share how you can root out worldly influences in your life and recommit yourself to the Lord.
Skip, sometimes the things of this world can slowly begin to defile our faith and our lives as we live for Jesus. How can we root out those things and recommit to living fully for God's purposes?
Yeah, boy, that's a big issue, isn't it? Conforming to the things of this world, Paul says we should be transformed. Mm. So I think we have to, the first step would be identity. Do you identify things that you are, you know, what is your kryptonite? What is it for you that when you get around it or you're involved in it is going to drag you down? Everybody can, in a few seconds, everybody listening to this can identify something.
Yeah.
And then proximity, you know, a healthy distance. You know, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, talked to his son about staying away from the harlot's house. Don't even go down her path. Don't even look in that direction. So once you identify it, then a healthy proximity to it. And then another third thing, especially for certain people, would be accountability. Every Christian talks about that. But if you know you have a propensity toward a certain behavior, if somebody's presence, some friendship in your life that you cultivate could help avert that, that you could call or could call you or ask you hard questions, that's another level. And then finally, I guess I would say, it's one thing to fight those things, but it's better if you replace that energy with something else.
That's so good.
So the Bible talks about that as transformation. You don't just say no to certain things. You say yes to other things, and you get so busy serving the Lord, and that's so much more satisfying that you lose a taste for the previous.
You know, we get blind spots, so I love that you said having that other person. You know, for me, introspection is way, I get really lost in that.
The paralysis of self-analysis.
I know that is. If there's a possibility to overthink something, I'll do it.
That's true.
So often I'll say, honey, do you see this in my life? And you help put the brakes on.
But I like that you asked that question. I wish more people asked that question. If you could do that, and especially in a marriage, I think that's important, don't you think? I mean, that's the friendship aspect that we enjoy.
Thanks, Skip and Lenya.
We hope this conversation inspires you to keep living for Christ, and we want to invite you to help others find this same inspiration with a gift to keep this biblical teaching on the air. To give, just visit connectwithskip.com/donate. That's connectwithskip.com/donate. Or you can call 800-922-1888. 800-922-1888. Thank you.
Tune in tomorrow as Skip Heitzig explores the times we need to speak up as believers and how God works powerfully through you when you speak for Him. You don't want to miss that.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.